Woof, woof, woof.
That sound, Wendy, means that we have been blessed with a visit from our friend, noted pet expert Steve Dale, who's sitting right over there in the Steve Dale chair. Hi, Steve.
I am in the chair. It's the high chair.
Yes.
That way I can reach the console.
Right.
I am standing. What do you mean?
We go back a long way, I'm thinking about this, when you used to be on our show on another radio station.
Actually, what maybe made you think, we used to stand, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, way back when.
Yeah.
When we were younger.
We had energy then.
No. I still have energy.
Nah, it's not the same.
It is the same.
It's not the same.
Can I tell you, I really do like to stand, but the way this counter is set up, that you, it would be more difficult.
It would be almost impossible, and yet I have seen Steve up here where you're sitting now.
Yeah. That's what I did.
Oh, I thought he was sitting.
No, well, no, now he's...
Hey! My attorneys will be calling you immediately.
You don't need that sort of behavior.
I am standing.
Steve, I'm looking through some of your topics that you want to discuss with us, and it really is back and forth with bad news and good news and bad news. I'll let you decide. Which do you want to cover first?
Well, Illinois, the state we live in, was once considered the most humane state in America.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was awarded, so... Several different times by national...
In terms of our treatment of animals.
Mm-hmm,
of pets.
And creation of laws and ordinances to protect animals.
Yeah.
Now the reverse may be true. And in fact, Illinois may be the most inhumane state with what's going on right now.
Talk to us.
So some time ago, remember last year there was a lion by the name of, Cecil. That was in Africa, sort of a celebrity lion in Zimbabwe.
And the dentist killed him?
And the dentist, right. You've got a good memory. A dentist in Minnesota killed him. Here's how that has to do with Illinois. Our legislators at that time appropriately said, as did legislators all over America, this is wrong. It's horrible. How can they, you know, and it is a terrible thing to do. A week later, in California, what they did was decide to protect the bobcat. In Illinois, we don't have lion here.
Uh-huh.
We don't have tigers or leopards. We don't have big cats. We have mountain lion in America, but not in Illinois, really. However, we have bobcat. Not many of them, but we have them.
God, they're beautiful.
Uh-huh. And there won't be as many of them now because Illinois legislators, unlike California legislators that said, let's protect what we have for sure and officially proclaim this animal is protected. In Illinois, hunting has officially, or will in 2017, begin for bobcat hunts.
Where do they roam?
Mostly central and southern Illinois. I mean, they're not in Cook County, but they're around. You don't see them a lot because they're, even if you live in southern or central Illinois, because they're greatly nocturnal. They want to keep away from people. And there aren't that many of them.
So they're not attacking people's dogs like the coyotes are?
No. Now, in some rural areas, I don't know, maybe a rooster was taken somewhere. I don't know. I'm not saying they'd be beyond that. Coyotes are another one, though. Glad you brought that up. So hooray for Illinois that has begun coyote hunts and roundups. And they call them that now. So they go out and they have a goal to kill X number of coyotes. They shoot them. They maybe kill them. They maybe don't. In the meantime, they're wandering for a day or two or three or four or five in the woods, suffering.
Injured, yeah.
Uh-huh. Ultimately, they're going to die. They maintain there are too many coyotes, but by killing the coyotes, what happens is, well, then there are too many rodents.
Yeah.
And too many rabbits, because that's what coyotes eat, along with deer. I mean, a persistent complaint has been there are too many deer. Coyotes don't take a lot of deer because deer are big and coyotes are smaller. But still, they get the does. They get the injured or old or sick deer. They will. So it's beyond me. But it's not only the fact that they're killing them. It's the way in which it's being done. They're using GPS. They're using all of these modern technology systems.
It's like a video game.
They don't have... Yes! Actually, yes. There's no way the coyote can win. It's not sport. You know, so I'm not a fan of hunting, but at least I can comprehend someone getting up at 5 in the morning to shoot deer or quail or whatever.
It's a sport.
Yeah, it kind of is. I don't know that
I'm not a big hunting fan, but I understand.
Right, exactly. This is incomprehensible to me. Also, Illinois legislators recently said we like puppy mills.
What? They said they like puppy mills?
Well, those are my words. But what they did do is a group, a coalition, and I think this is the first time this has been talked about on the radio, because this is new. It's a bill that will actually help puppy mills to prosper. This coalition calls themselves the Pet Lovers Association. They are the American Kennel Club, the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council. They're a lobbying organization. The Federation of Dog Clubs and Owners, and the Illinois Veterinary Medical Association. What they want are, there's that law in Cook County now that you cannot buy, and in Chicago and a couple of other communities in Illinois, well over 100 around America, that you cannot buy a dog or a cat from a pet store because that dog is going to be from a puppy mill. Cats are from similar type commercial facilities. Those laws I love. You know, it's one way to get at the puppy mills, right? Well, what this group wants to do, if they get their way, will be to send those laws that already have been passed to prevent them from being enforced and to prevent any other community in Illinois to pass a similar law. That's happened in Arizona. It's happened in Ohio. What they did in those states was very quickly, kind of in the cover of darkness, they put through the law, and boom, the next day it was passed. In Illinois, nothing happens that fast. So word has gotten out about it. So people like me at least can talk about it. So I guess in a good way, it's a good thing that our states move so slowly. I think a lot of the legislators who signed on to this had no idea what they were signing on to. Right. But nevertheless, it is not a good thing and not a good idea.
I'm surprised, Steve, because you're so outspoken with you wanting everything to be okay by the animals. Did you make any attempt in Springfield to try to sway them at all?
Well, I've been talking to the Humane Society of the United States about this. They are meeting, as we speak, with some legislators. And depending on what happens out of that meeting, on my show this Sunday, I may have a legislator or two on. I would argue they really didn't know what they were signing on to. I would hope not. Democrats and Republicans, by the way, signed on to this thing because the proposal also talks about microchipping and the importance of microchipping and hides all this other stuff. However, while microchipping is important, right now, if you adopt a dog or a cat from an animal shelter or rescue in Illinois, mm-hmm. by law, that pet has to be microchipped anyway. So the law is silly, the proposed law.
You know, congratulations to the German Shepherd that won the Westminster pet show.
Very nice.
Here's why I say that.
Bill was watching that.
Yeah, I loved it.
German Shepherds don't typically win best in show.
They haven't for a while.
Right.
They do okay.
But, you know, with all these, I love watching the dog show and the puppy bowl and all that stuff. But then all of a sudden I start thinking, you know, these purebred animals, doesn't that make somebody want to go to a breeder? Why don't you get a purebred at a rescue place? Like, even breeders, to me, seem... Mm-hmm. Why can't we adopt the dogs that are already out there in need of a home?
Yes. I mean, I understand what you're saying. At some point, if we have no dog breeders, we're not going to have any German Shepherds. You know, it's not going to happen tomorrow. Having said that, of course, I'm all for rescue and adoption. I think that's great. And it's interesting... And not surprising that the ratings aren't the same, you know, as they were 5 or 6 years ago, for example, for the Westminster Kennel Club dog show. A lot of people watch that and actually cringe, you know. I didn't write about it this year for the first year in forever, and no one complained. So it just seems as though that the interest in some of this is waning a bit with the general public for reasons that we're talking about.
And if you want a particular breed, Google online, because it seems like years ago there were only a couple, and now any breed you're looking for.
Saluki.
Lhasa Apso's.
Yeah, you name it.
Newfoundlands.
I mean, yeah. Even the more uncommon breeds, you know, like Havanese, a breed that Bill wants 3 or 4 of.
I would like to have 3 or 4 Havanese. I thought it was a cheese until just a second ago. you said people would watch it and they would cringe. Why? How come people were cringing?
Well, you know, they see the... So the German Shepherd dog, the back is kind of sloped.
Yeah.
And the legs look like they're dwarfed almost.
You know? They're shorter.
So it's some of the breeding that's been done that make people cringe. And also, just the fact that I think, you know what? I'm a fan of purebred dogs and incidentally, purebred cats. I've had them, you know, and I would again. Would I go to a breeder or a rescue? I don't know. It depends what's available and timing as much as...
True.
But having said all that, I think there's more awareness about rescue, and I do know for a fact that more people are adopting than ever before. I mean, it was when I began all this 20 years ago, 70, 60, somewhere in there, percent of dogs were purebred dogs. Now it's probably about the other way around.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
Change a rescue for every breed.
Yeah.
There's a Bill Leff rescue.
Yeah.
I doubt it. I don't think so.
Come on. All right. We'll take a quick break.
Not and that.
More with noted pet expert Steve Dale. Do you want to jump in? You have a question or a comment? 312-981-7200. Not you, Steve. You're already here. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I just want to listen to Bob Marley, if that's okay.
This is fine. Steve, dance with me.
No.
All right. Noted pet expert Steve Dale is here. His dance card is punched.
You'll be punched later, too.
Probably. 312-981-7200 if you want to call or text us.
So dogs dig reggae.
Apparently, yes. So Marley and Me could have been about something completely different, as it turns out. So a study was...
That was enjoyable.
I love your half a second delay on that.
That was very enjoyable.
Are you listening to the delay feed? Or that was so cute. All right. Dogs like reggae.
So a study was done for which purpose, I'm not exactly sure. Actually, I do know, because dogs in animal shelters in particular can be rather anxious, stressed out. I mean, they don't know why they're there. To say shelters are like jails, some people say, is absolutely wrong. But they're not the most pleasant place sometimes for dogs to be. They're noisy. They smell the fear and everything else going on. We don't even know what they smell, but it's not all good. And in addition to that, they're confined, you know. It's not like being in a home. So they do get stressed. How can we relax these dogs more? And studies were done years ago to determine that dogs, in fact, do respond to music. Their anxiety level seems to lower just a little bit. An initial study found that it was classical music that did the trick. But a study that was recently done by the Scottish SPCA.
Yeah.
Did I say that?
Scottish or Scottish?
Scottish.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know how to do the Scottish.
No, you don't.
No, you I really missed it don't. By a long shot. That's okay.
I thought maybe one of you would pick it up. But
no.
No, not touching it.
Nope.
And the University of Glasgow, they did a study that determined that it turns out to be reggae music and also soft rock. So reggae is first. Yeah. So I guess it's Bob Marley followed by, I don't know, Karen Carpenter that they prefer. So they like those two kinds of music the most.
That was Steve's go-to on a soft rock performer.
That was a good choice.
That was a good choice.
I thought it was okay.
Very solid.
You know, reggae music, the beat of reggae, according to my friend and yogi John Marcoux, is exactly that of a human resting heartbeat.
Oh,
so
I can
maybe
see
that.
That
is very
that
soothing
makes sense.
Like that.
Makes
I played
sense.
It in the labor and delivery room when I had my babies.
Did you? Yeah.
And it does soothe people, so it makes sense that it would soothe animals.
Yeah, so there are still some researchers that say this is nonsense. The dogs essentially pay as much attention to music as they do a horn honking outside or kids screaming as they ride by on their bicycles. That's just background noise.
Yeah.
But then, as you point out, we're apparently learning more about what music does for people. So in senior centers, people that have dementia, apparently who cannot remember their own name, recall Beach Boy lyrics, you know?
That's amazing to me, that music therapy. It's pretty something.
Yep. And I would argue that if it works for people on some level, it's going to help dogs to relax us too. So I am so excited about a movie premiere that's happening right here in Chicago.
What is the movie, Steve?
At Keddie. Have you seen
it? Not a word. What is it called?
Kitty?
That's a word.
Well, no, it's spelled K E D I.
Oh, Keddie, all right.
And as he said,
it's the name of a cat.
Oh.
And this movie stars six other cats in addition to Keddie.
Is it an all cat cast?
Yes.
It is mostly cats.
Yes. It's a documentary.
Because they could go back and do that with other, like Cat on a Hutch and Roof with all cats would be
That would
stupid.
Be good.
Oh, it would be good.
I like it, yeah. Right. In fact, in the trailer, you see a cat walking along a rooftop.
Yeah.
So it could be. But the muse for that was...
You two should take it on the road. Can I just tell you that?
It's been suggested. Management has suggested
like
that.
Like now, take it on the road.
They've told me to go on the road quite frequently.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So this is exciting because the movie is coming to Chicago at the Music Box Theater on February 24th. That's the premiere. And then plays at different times, different days through March 2nd. And here's what it's about. You know, when you go to a city in Mexico, where you guys have been at one time or another, you see these street cats.
Tons of them.
Uh-huh. In Istanbul, they are street cats. They are living on the street, but they are pets. People have names for them. They regularly visit certain businesses, certain homes. They get fed. They get pet. They get cared for. They are loved, but they don't spend the night in those places. And maybe they show up only once a week at a particular house or a particular business. So they're kind of owned and kind of not. They live in this in-between world. And that is what this documentary is about. Doesn't it sound great?
You know, it does.
I like it. It's like Cat Limbo.
Yeah.
It is.
But it's kind of a love story because so many of these people, what's really interesting is so many of these people talk to these cats who they kind of know and kind of don't. And they tell them their problems. They communicate with them in all sorts of different ways that makes them better, feel better. It's fascinating what these cats who are kind of not owned and kind of owned do for these people.
Why does it happen so often in real tropical locations? Like I remember in the Bahamas and in the Turks and Caicos Islands
too.
And Hawaii, they have this community of cats that just kind of live on their own, sometimes on the beach or nearby.
Well, we have feral cats that live in Chicago. There just aren't as many of them because...
They want to go where it's warm and when there's a beach.
Yeah, and people spay neuter here, you know. So in urban areas, and in the United States, you don't have quite as many as you do in some other places in the world because there's more spay neuter.
Right.
You know, but it's just a fascinating story. It's at the Music Box Theater that is just west of Wrigley Field on Southport, 3733 North Southport.
That's Friday night.
Mm-hmm, and Thursday night, I am going to be at Eat Your Heart Out. It's a event for the
nom nom nom.
It's an event. It's waiting for something. It's an event at I shouldn't have. It's the an event at the Anti-Cruelty Society of or for the Anti-Cruelty Society of Chicago. This is important because it's their big fundraiser. Uh-huh. So it's a big deal anyway. But above and beyond that, it's also because the dog flu has hit anti-cruelty really hard.
Yeah.
They've stopped adoptions. Of course, they have to treat the animals with the flu. It has spread so quickly. I mean, just in days it spread. So we're talking, I think, about 100 dogs that, you know, had symptoms of the flu, nearly their entire population. So they have to be treated. Even dogs who didn't have the flu need to be treated preventively. So that costs money. So if there's a time to step up for the Anti-Cruelty of Society of Chicago, this is it. And you can help them out. The event is this Thursday. It's called Eat Your Heart Out.
How do we get tickets for that or donate?
Anticruelty.org for further information. And that's a great idea. If you can't attend and have it in your heart to just donate, that's a great, great thing to do.
That is noted pet expert Steve Dale. If you need somebody who knows about pets and can do a really awful Scottish accent, he is definitely your guy. Steve, thank you.
A hoot and a holler to ya.
See what I mean?
That's not even close.
That's great. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you,
appreciate
Steve.
Appreciate you being here. Have a great rest of the week. We have something very nice to give away.
How about the Bill and Wendy Firehouse Subs lunch break right here, right now? You can win a Firehouse Subs gift card. Bill, pick the number, caller.
Caller 18.
You make Kevin work
very
hard.
He's back from vacation. I got to get him back in the swing of things.
312-981-7200. Caller number 18 will walk away with a Firehouse Subs gift card. If you don't win one today, another shot coming your way tomorrow, and you can just go to a Firehouse Subs. If you do, ask for the Bill and Wendy special. You'll get the make your own sub. You can build a medium sub of your choice with some of these meats, turkey, ham, or roast beef. You can put on some accoutrement, including lettuce, tomato, mayo, mustard, pickle spear on the side.
That was a better Scottish accent than Steve's, and that was a French word.
The Make Your Own Sub Bill and Wendy special is only $4.99. Find a Firehouse Sub near you at firehousesubs.com. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. And we have a winner, caller number 18 at 312-981-7200.
It's kind of a strange name. Oh, wait, hold on. She changed her name. She had a name, and then it changed. Did you see that?
Kevin misheard her. Linda from Midlothian, congratulations. Your chance to win another Firehouse Subs gift card coming your way tomorrow.